a very interesting topic, and it's one that I've discussed and considered, but this is what, let's say it's one angle, and that is that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur made a strong preaching mission. And what he did had never been done before. And in relation to the preaching mission, he also presented Krishna consciousness and the practices of Krishna consciousness in a somewhat different way from his predecessors. It could be because as times were changing and Kali Yuga was getting worse, people were less qualified. Or it could be because, it could be because of his own realization or the empowerment he received from his superiors. But he really emphasized preaching. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahayanya, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself is the combined form of Radha and Krishna, and that by serving Lord Chaitanya, being absorbed in Lord Chaitanya, you eventually realize Radha and Krishna. Now, and he did many things that were revolutionary. You know, he just riding in a limousine, and he did so many things for the sake of preaching that were revolutionary. And this, some of the more esoteric practices in the tradition were either, you know, discontinued by him or done, you know, in a very discreet way with just some one or two select disciples. And he was also the one who emphasized shiksha parampara as opposed to diksha parampara. And that itself is related to a very basic point of our philosophy, you know, nitya siddha krishna prema, that love of Krishna is eternally established within the heart. And by chanting and hearing about Krishna, that dormant love is awakened. And this idea is slightly different from the idea of the Babaji's. So there are certain esoteric practices even mentioned by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So these esoteric practices like Siddha Pranali and the Ekadasa Bhav, these 11 sentiments related to a person's eternal identity and service, like the age, the dress, the service, so many details of the person's identity in Krishna Lila. Those are the Ekadasa Bhavas. So those practices were, pretty much discontinued by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he was operating on the premise that Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunai Sudachiti
Savanadi Sudachiti
that love of Krishna is eternally established within the heart. It's not to be gained from any other source. And by purifying the heart, by chanting and hearing about Krishna, one's dormant love awakens. So in other words, that is not given to you by the guru, by diksha, or by any technical process. That's already there in you. And by devotional service, it awakens. And then what devotional service? As we've been discussing, nam, kirtan, and preaching. And Srila Prabhupada summarized the whole process in a very beautiful way in one talk. He said that to approach Radha and Krishna, you need the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. To get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, you need the mercy of Lord Nityananda. To get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, you have to approach people like Jagai and Madhai. The whole thing or just that? Yeah. And to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, you have to approach people like Jagai and Madhai. So we're on the street approaching people like Jagai and Madhai, who are not very different from the way we were a little while ago. And by that process, we get the mercy of Lord Nityananda. By his mercy, we get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And by his mercy, we can approach Radha and Krishna. So this was a very revolutionary realization or revelation or approach. And now there's a little conjecture here, but this topic came up in the philosophical subcommittee of the GBC with Ravindra Swarup Prabhu as the chairman. And what he imagined, and from other things I've heard, it all makes sense, was that after that because Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was so revolutionary, and we hear the stories of how there were threats on his life, and how when he went to Vrindavan, the storekeepers closed their shops, and the temples closed their doors. It's like, it was really revolutionary, and people reacted. So, what Ravindra Swarup Prabhu imagined was that all along, his disciples were being told that your Guru Maharaj is off, or your Guru Maharaj is off. He's not following Parampara. And the Babaji's, everyone, they all trace their authority to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the six Goswamis. Even this idea that you get your rasa from the Guru, you get your swarup from the Guru, they trace it to Jiva Goswami. But they have their own interpretation. So you can't really argue that we're following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or we're following Rupa and Sanatana or the six Goswamis, because they say we are, but we're following the right way. So Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives an example which can be used to explain the difference between sadhana siddha and kripa siddha, but it can also be used to explain the different ideas of how you can realize who you are. And the example elaborated a bit in to a story. A Brahmin is traveling and night comes, he's hungry. So he stops at the home of another Brahmin. So the other Brahmin says, because some Brahmins, you know, they're very strict. They only, at least previously, they would only cook for themselves. They wouldn't even let their wives cook for them. They'd only eat what they cooked with their own hand. That should not be used by wives who want to avoid their duty of cooking for their husband. So he says, you know, if you like, I will give you all the ingredients and you can go in the kitchen and cook. Or, I myself was just about to make an offering to my deities. If you want, I will give you the meal that I've prepared. So, in, you know, again, from one point of view, you could say that the cooking the meal is like sadhana siddha, and having the meal given to you is kripa siddha. But it's also been used in the other sense, that the ekadasa bhava is like, okay, this is your name, this is your age, this is your dress, this is your service, and then you sort of put it all together and try to come up with your identity. The other way is it's just revealed to you, you know. And from things that Srila Prabhupada has said when asked about this question, you know, the basic idea is that when you awaken, you know who you are, you know, and that comes at the stage of bhava bhakti. And Srila Prabhupada said, it's just like when you're asleep, you dream you're so-and-so, you're doing such-and-such. It's a whole other reality. But when you wake up, you immediately remember everything about who you are. You know, I'm Sachinandan Swami, Sannyasi in ISKCON, I'm conducting a japa retreat, I have to get dressed, I have to go down to the, you know, and, you know, everything about your, you know, your friends, your service, your everything about you, you know, when you wake up, you know who you are and what you have to do. So, on this point of seeing what the previous acharyas have said and relating it to what Srila Prabhupada said, I think it requires quite a bit of maturity, because, like I said, from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati on to Srila Prabhupada, they really preached Sankirtan. And I think I don't know if it was Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. I think it was maybe Akinchana Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disciple, whom I heard Srila Prabhupada said was a Paramahansa. He was approached. Maybe it was Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur that, you know, that your process is defective because you don't have Siddha Pranali. And he replied, we do have Siddha Pranali. Chinadapi suni chena tararapi siishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. And Srila Prabhupada's godbrother, OBL Kapoor, he once approached Srila Prabhupada and said that you, in Grihastha Ashram, you were a pharmacist or chemist. You knew so many formulas. Do you know the formula for love of God? He said, yes, I do. And Professor Kapoor said, well, what is it? Srila Prabhupada replied, Trinadapi sunichena tararapi sihishnuna amanina manadina kirtaniya sadahari. So that's our process. Now this question of kirtaniya sadahari, what does that mean? That's also a big question. Because sometimes people criticize us that we don't chant enough, which may be true. I mean, it very well may be true. But Kirtaniya Sadahari, in the vision of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada, didn't just mean this clay mridanga. It also meant the Brihad Mridanga. It meant preaching and doing everything that's involved in preaching. Like when the press came to Boston and we actually started to produce Srila Prabhupada's books. Because up until then, it was the order, everyone must go out all day on Harinam Sankirtan. But Prabhupada was very eager that his books be printed. And to fulfill Prabhupada's desire that the books be printed, the press people didn't go out every day. And I think maybe once a week or maybe an hour a day or different arrangements. But they were like, we had a composing machine. It wasn't like we have computers now. There's a composer, it was big and really expensive. And it was like we had to keep that working 24 hours. So the ladies were taking shifts literally around the clock, 24 hours, typing on the composing machine. And Prabhupada said that typing is kirtan. So the conception, so the process is Kirtaniya Sadahari, and the conception of kirtan was expanded to include, you know, the Brihad Kirtan or the Brihad Mridanga, or in general, whatever is required to spread the glories of Krishna and engage the fallen souls in devotional service. And this is, it's completely sound philosophically. It's completely consistent with our philosophy. But it's a little different approach. It's a different realization. It's a different emphasis. And so I do believe that it requires some maturity to be able to read the books of the previous acharyas. And then, of course, the translations, that's a whole other question, because, I mean, Gopi Puranadana Prabhu, whom I really trust as a translator, he's looked at some of the books in the market and he finds a lot of mistakes. A lot of mistakes. So one thing is just mistakes because the translators are not so expert. And the other thing is people have their agendas and they sort of put their purport into the works of the previous acharyas to further their agendas. So it's risky, it's fraught with pitfalls. But again, if someone is really well grounded in Srila Prabhupada's philosophy and mission and has good association, certainly there's a lot of beautiful Krishna katha that we can get. But I remember when Keshava Bharati Das Goswami was very involved in the editing of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. He felt so enlivened because there were some differences. Seemed to be some difference in approach between Srila Prabhupada and some other Gaudiya Vaishnavas currently preaching. One issue was meeting and separation. You know, Prabhupada emphasized the mood of separation, service and separation, whereas the other person was saying, I mean, there could be a way of reconciling it all. I mean, I'm not saying, but on the surface, the other person was saying, you know, meeting is the highest. But in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it really comes out that separation is the highest. You know, Krishna left Vrindavan. Of course, that's also a little intricate because he does return in his bhava expansion, as you mentioned, but he left Vrindavan. He could have gone back and stayed there, but he didn't. Or the Brijavasis could have left Vrindavan and, you know, gone to Dwarka and stayed with him there. But they didn't. And the conclusion from Brihad Bhagavatamrita is that because it's natural that you want to do whatever gives you the greatest pleasure. So the fact that they remained in separation from each other means that the pleasure they got in separation was greater even than the pleasure they would have had if they were together in geographical proximity. So that was one issue. Another issue was sort of the mood towards other devotees and other rasas, like one prominent preacher, maybe more, I know of one. It's like very much like, you know, the goal is Gopi Bhav, and, you know, if anything other than Gopi Bhav is less, you know. Whereas in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, there's appreciation of all the devotees, you know, in both stories, you know, wherever Gop Kumar went, it was like, it was just so wonderful. He wanted to stay there. He didn't want to go anywhere else. Like, each place was so wonderful. And even in the first part, you know, Kumbh Mela and then Mathura and Jagannath Puri and then all the different devotees, and each one you know, saying, I'm not the recipient of the Lord's greatest mercy, he is. And then he points to the next. So, and that was more the way Prabhupada presented devotion. Appreciate all the devotees. Yeah, we know Radharani is the supreme, but Hare Krishna loves all of his devotees. He loves the cows and calves and cowherd boys. And then the place of Nam Sankirtan. Because this, in these more esoteric practices, there's it's really Smaranam. Astakaliya Lila Smaranam. So in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, there's an elaborate discussion of, you know, the relative virtues of Smaranam versus Kirtan. And, you know, they're very good arguments on both sides, but the final conclusion was that Kirtan is the best. So Keshava Bharti Maharaj felt that, yeah, it's not that, like, you know, well, Prabhupada was a good organizer, so he's very successful in spreading Krishna consciousness, but he didn't really know the philosophy. But he really was presenting our line. And, you know, so I think, anyway, there's a lot. A lot in Prabhupada's books, there's a lot in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. There's so much in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And, but of course, Prabhupada wanted all the books to be translated.